Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here this wonderful Tuesday. I had to think for a moment.
Where am I?
Yes, what I'm like projecting November the 6th. And my name is Greg Lancaster. We're here to encourage you. Listen to VFN Radio. Joining me to encourage you is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Also, the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, glad to be here.
Are you glad?
I'm so glad.
I want to say hello to all of our listeners. We're just so glad to be here. We have so much to share with you. So many things happened. We just had the last presidential debate last night. We're going to chat about it a little bit. I got some good things that were shared that kind of gave us insights as Christians and our value system. We'll give a shout out also to our new listeners that are sitting in the virtual audience. I want to welcome Jeff and Mario and Roseanne and Michaela and Paul and Wanda, Rashad, Robert, Patrick, Mike, Bobby, Robert, Andre, Tom, Sandy, Laura. Welcome to the VFN Radio audience. I can't get to all of you. I just want you to know we want to recognize and how much we appreciate you joining the conversation of hope, of encouragement, and a few laughs on this journey called life, the gift that God has given us. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And also joining us on the VFN Radio program is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, hello, hello, John Paul.
How are you doing today?
Doing good. I like the New York Mets shirt you got on this morning.
Well, hey, man, you know, I'm trying to catch up with the Saint fan over there, so I'm trying to keep New York Mets representative. Does he have his on today?
Vintage.
Not today.
Not today. Giving that one a rest, I see.
Yesterday says something about losers. It's something about compromises for losers.
That's right.
Oh, okay, I see.
As he put too much sugar in his tea. Yeah, I just heard this morning on the news for anybody that's using any cholesterol-lowering drugs, that it's reportedly that the culprit is not your cholesterol. The culprit, they're saying, is sugar.
Really?
And of course,
sugar gets blamed for everything, doesn't it?
Probably because it tastes so good when you put it in stuff, you know.
I know. Mm-hmm.
But they said that this is one doctor says this is what CBN News reports that at every crime scene when you show up when there's some sort of heart situation. Cholesterol is always at the crime scene, but doesn't mean that cholesterol did it. You know, just because you're hanging around the crime scene, I mean, you could be a gawker, somebody who just likes to hang around what's going on. But what he found out, he tested other people with their cholesterol levels who just didn't happen to be at the crime scene, and they had cholesterol levels as well in their systems, and he realized this is what he's saying. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I'm just repeating what he said on CBN News, that cholesterol is not, it's a good thing. Obviously, trans fats are not because we created in some lab somewhere, but just fat, I mean, in general is a gift. It's good. You know, babies, right. Children's brains grow on cholesterol, but what do children eat more of than cholesterol?
Sugar, and lots of it.
Yes, and so sugar is the consistent suspect for heart disease and all these different things that we eat. Some people have allegedly reported that sugar is like eating shards of glass. You know, just a regular table sugar that goes through your system and just kind of lashes at your arteries and your veins. When you compare what we used to eat, the amount of sugar in a year, I don't have the numbers, but it has grown proportionally amazingly. So what happens is somebody focused in and said that cholesterol is our issue, So they sell us non-fat foods.
Mm-hmm.
But they replace the flavor of fat with sugar. Mm. And so now we're eating shards of glass, according to what they're saying, and thinking we're dodging a bullet when the reality is it's all the numbers are going up.
Right.
And, of course, so is our size. And I always wonder this because, you know, I'm not a pizza eater.
Right.
Or
tacos.
I don't eat tacos. I don't. I wouldn't even eat Mexican food probably unless every bad thing I think you've but there's this one salad.
Yeah, you did like diving though.
Who?
You did like diving.
Well, that's on food wise.
Oh, okay.
Food wise. We won't bring up the barnacles or the coral, but the,
God rest her soul.
Yeah. Right. On my shelf. The fajita salad. Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Every time you eat it, you know, you underestimate it. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And I remember the last one I had was with Jared. We sit down and just ate nonstop. And it's so good. And it depends where you get it from. You can't. It's like Chinese food. You know, it depends where you get it from. It's not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't eat the pizzas. I don't like Cokes and root beers and different things like that has all the thick sugars in it. I mean, if I do, it's like it's overwhelming to my system.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel the sugar going in.
Right.
Yeah, I tried this diet a long time ago while we're talking about this. Save me from this conversation.
Was that bacon diet?
Yeah, actually it was. and it was a no-carb diet. Or low-carb diet. I think it was no-carb or low-carb or something. It was amazing because I'm definitely now, I am a meat eater.
Yeah.
And the sad thing was you couldn't put ketchup or anything on your meat. That was tough, you know.
Yeah.
Or you would be A1 sauce or hot sauce or something. Yeah. But, I lost a lot. It was amazing. I started shedding all. I'm eating fat and I'm losing fat.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Totally makes sense.
It was totally amazing until I went into a deep depression. And I was in Tennessee, where we're having a conference up in Tennessee, and walking past these taffy stores. They make sugar taffy and all these different things. And I just kind of went in for it up there. Mm-hmm. And but I remember when I was on that, I was just amazed because, you know, I'm concerned about diets because diets, everybody that's on them,
mm-hmm.
it's gaining weight. That's why I'm just scared of them. You're like, oh my goodness. Like, don't do a diet. Just get some pizza. But I was amazed that I had no sugar in my system. And you had to go through a season where, you know, you're going to crave it. But after a while, it's the sugar that causes cravings. If you're, because once your sugar levels are right, your blood level's right. If your blood level's right, it doesn't spike. If it doesn't spike, you don't get that big, oh, I got to eat now.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now our blood levels are like roller coasters, right? That's why they say, by the way, drink a glass of about a cup of orange juice when you're getting this huge craving, because what's happening is your blood shot up. And orange juice will dump right into your bloodstream and immediately lower it back down again, so at least you won't eat more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I went to a barbecue restaurant during that time when I was on this meat thing, because you could eat all the meat you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Right? You load it up, yeah, bring it, chuck it all, you could eat all the meat that you wanted.
Yeah,
and you really should have cut it down somewhere. I probably would have had a greater success. But the they served tea there, and I didn't order the unsweet tea. I ordered just tea.
Yeah.
Now these guys at this restaurant, it's called Sonny's Barbecue. Mm-hmm. For those that are in the South. They don't put sugar in their tea. They put tea in their sugar.
Yeah, right.
It is like, it is candy-coated teeth.
Right.
If you actually drink it, I mean, it is amazing.
And they serve it by the gallon.
Yeah, yeah, big, huge cups. You have to understand, now, I've probably been about 30 days, 60 days without having any sugar in my system. And so what I did was put, take a drink of that tea. And when I drank some of that tea, I felt the tea, Pat. I felt the tea move through my body.
Yeah.
I felt it go
in.
He's like, oh, you were there. Oh, you were there. I felt it. I was going like, oh my goodness, I could feel this thick, gooey stuff going into my system, and then I felt it going through all my veins or arteries or how that goes, mm-hmm. and I just felt it migrating through my whole system.
But that tea's like syrup.
Well, it really is. I mean, it really is. But I didn't know you could feel sugar, because you have sugar all the time, you don't realize all that.
Right.
And I'm thinking, this, I was just upset because I just realized what sugar could do to me.
Yeah.
And so now I disguise it in ice cream.
Well, that worked.
Yeah, kinda. And I'm not even an ice cream eater.
Right.
Mm. I was talking to the Todd show the other day. He goes, could you imagine how big you would be
if you ate ice cream?
Wow. I said, let's move on. But it just moves through your system. And so sugar has an effect on us. Mm-hmm. And if we can manage our sugar, and of course, the starches and all that also turn into sugar. So somebody says, I don't eat sugar. I just eat a loaf of bread and rice and breads and stuff like that turn into sugar. Everything turns into sugar. It's going to be, you know, take it through your system. But yeah, they said that sugar is the main thing. And you look at people that get on things like Sugar Busters and low carb, the South Beach diet or whatever it is. I'm not into combination eating, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's like Archie Bunker years ago. Balanced diet. Listen to me. A balanced diet, meathead. It's a little bit of peas, and then don't stay on the peas. Go now, eat a little bit of mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of meat. See, it's balanced, meathead. It's balanced. That's a flashback for anybody who don't know who that is.
Oof. Yeah.
I know. Don't watch it no more. It's horrible. It was horrible. I cannot believe. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe what America used to be.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that it was so prevalent that you could see, and it was intentionally to be irreverent. That program was intentionally the producer of it, intended to push all stereotypes and all that type of thing.
Pushed every button.
And they're still doing it today. Just new buttons. They finished them buttons, I guess. Mm. But I'm thinking, my goodness, I can't believe that. I remember... You know, laughing every night to Johnny Carson for years, and then I got saved. I was like, he's a dirty old man.
Oh, my God.
I just never saw it until I got saved. It never even crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, that Pat's favorite show.
Right? That was my grandma's favorite show.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss Innocence.
Right. 5 foot, nothing.
Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to encourage you this morning to check that out. Go to CBN News and look at the article on cholesterol. Because this is the reason why that they're giving people drugs to lower their cholesterol. They're just saying because cholesterol is the culprit. They were saying, well, there's just a lot of side effects to that drug: memory loss, your height. I mean. You don't grow any taller. Now you're listening to me. Now you weren't paying attention. Now you're like, oh my goodness, get that stuff out of the pantry.
What's the name of that? What's the exact name of that medication?
It's cholesterol lowering drugs, and they actually do lower your cholesterol, but they don't lower your ice cream. No, the sugars, and it's a 15 year increase in Alzheimer's, or 15 years faster moving into Alzheimer's.
Oh wow. Mm.
You lose your muscle strength.
Wow.
I know. Pat's checking his mush now. Oh, now they know it's mush. Oh, we never told them. We had you totally secretly hidden in a limousine with a 18-inch waist. Yeah, no, he's mush. Yeah. I do want to give a shout out this morning to Steve Kalaszewski. Congratulations on your first day with the same company, but with a new branch in Pittsburgh. We're awesome. So excited for you. Your faith and your confidence, and we're seeing God move so powerfully in your life and your love for Pittsburgh and the people of Pittsburgh. We're feeling your love for all of our new listeners in Pittsburgh. A firebrand has just arrived in your city, and his name is Steve Kalaszewski. Loves God. And God has put a love in his heart for you. Mm-hmm. And he's already begun to share it, but I can't wait until all of you get to meet him. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very exciting. He lives up in the the southern parts, just on the southern edge of Pittsburgh, the city of Pittsburgh, and we'll be telling you more about it. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting awesome. To see what God is doing. Got wonderful neighbors. Man, as soon as he moved in, people of Pittsburgh just started just, you know, coming to him and helping him unload his truck and watching over his home and teaching him some tips and offering him to go around. The mailman stops and talks,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like amazing.
Wow.
And they just welcomed him into Pittsburgh, and the people of Pittsburgh are really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna hopefully be sure. soon get a chance to go walk the streets of Pittsburgh with him and eat some of that cholesterol up there.
Yeah,
the cheese steaks and the sausages and all that wonderful stuff. But I will stay away from the sugar. I'll stay away from that. But yeah, they did. They say that the statin drugs that they give to lower cholesterol is what they reported this morning on CBN News. It affects you in all these ways that you don't want it to affect you.
Right.
You know, and as you're moving along in age, you don't want to have things that progress you further along in age before you arrive.
No.
But muscle mass, you know, things like that. I mean, it's just very serious stuff. It's like, my goodness.
Mm.
And the key is staying away from sugar.
Right.
As much as you can.
Right.
And when I sat at that restaurant and I realized what that sugar did to me, and the other thing sugar does too, it makes you feel full when you're not. So it gives you a false sense of being full, and then it drops you like a bad date.
Yeah,
and it'll take your blood levels really high, and so you feel okay, I'm satisfied, and then it will drop you. It'll just drop your levels down, which takes you into this binge mode of like, okay, I want two slices of pizza instead of one. Twinkie? I'm not even a Twinkie person. I mean, it's amazing. They have fried Twinkies. I've seen.
What do you eat? What do you like? My goodness.
What are you saying about what are you talking about?
I mean, you don't like ice cream. You don't like Twinkies.
No,
you
don't like pizza.
I know what you're saying.
Or
I know,
don't
you,
like pizza.
I know what
you're like
saying. I know what you're saying. You're saying I know you eat something. Fill us in.
He's a meat potatoes man.
I like meat.
Meat potatoes.
And it's got to be good potatoes. I'm not even a potato person anymore. But I like fried foods.
Fried food.
Yeah, okay. I like fried. I'm down. You know, down south.
Fried
everything's
fish.
Fried. I like fried fish.
Mullet.
Mullet.
She makes some good fried mullet. Should have had
everything
some.
She fixes is good. Really except good. That one particular thing. It's from the Philippines, that like jello stuff. What was that? Was
I don't know. I don't.
I tried it.
That
like,
stuff.
I'm like, I got to swallow this. But everything else.
Don't worry about it. She might come get you now.
Right. But everything else is good. Well, this wasn't her recipe. She was copying somebody else's recipe.
Oh,
her own stuff is good. Her own stuff is good. But, yeah, it was like, it was definitely something that can only be explained to God. Yeah. It wasn't Jell-O. I was thinking Jell-O. That's what it was. I was thinking Jell-O, and then...
Then it hits your mouth.
Then I just had this conflict about, it ain't Jell-O.
I'm not eclectic in my taste buds either.
You sure are. Of anybody to be talking, my goodness.
I know it.
I mean, I'm like...
No white sauce. No white sauce.
Nothing. It's just like dry. Nothing. Everything's dry.
Yeah.
It's dry. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how anything moves down his throat.
No grits. No anything. Mayonnaise.
Yeah, but grits too. Yeah, right. It's like, you remember that we were doing this large camping trip thing, and we had all these fathers and sons and mentors, and of course John does not like grits, and he made that known. He didn't like grits.
Mistake,
and, huh?
Mistake.
Yeah. And he was walking in line. I think everybody's getting their food, and of course we're all working, so we're just grabbing some food, and somebody, I don't know who that was, popped a huge pile of cheese grits on your plate.
Yeah.
Gee, who was that?
Who was it? It wasn't me. Was it me?
It wasn't me.
Oh, I didn't have time to do that.
Yeah,
Lord.
It probably was you.
Was it really?
I think it was Chris.
It was definitely in my heart to do.
I just videoed it.
Yeah. We do have that on video.
I remember the first time wanted me to trust it. Would you have some grits with us this morning? And I said, sure, I'll try one.
That's what you said. One.
And the whole crowd just
with a toothpick. Yeah. It makes a difference how you make them. When I make them, you know, I use cholesterol.
Lots of
a butter now. I like butter.
Ooh,
I like butter, but you know, it's got to be the right kind of butter, not this
real butter, not not fake butter.
Well, I had a a trainer that abandoned me and went to Birmingham. He is from the Bahamas. And anyway, long story short, I got injured in a car accident, and he was working to get my body into some other shape. And he's so good.
Like a body sculpture, right?
Yeah, kind of like that. But he didn't tell you what to eat, but he worked you out so hard that you resented hamburgers. And he would tell you after you just, you know, busted your rumpus for so many things, he goes, that all of that energy is equivalent to one Whopper at Burger King. So you could compare the two. Right. So you just kind of sneer when you pass by Burger King. I am not going to do that kind of exercise again, which is really good. And then he had you do a lot of core training exercises, mm-hmm. and your gut and your obliques and everything around your digestive system. Mm-hmm. And what he was doing was he was choking my stomach. So I couldn't even hold a burger or something. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then you get fuller faster. See, right now we just have a lot of looseness around the house.
We got plenty of room.
We got to tighten that puppy up. And,
okay.
Yeah. And so I don't know why we were talking about him, but
cholesterol, grits, mayonnaise.
I gotta get off that cholesterol drug.
I'm hungry.
It's happening already.
Yeah. So we'll be back after this message. Anyway, yeah, I just wanna he worked with me, he got me back into A shape and did really good. It was really cool because he would make me read things and learn things, and he really cared. But then he abandoned me. I haven't had therapy for that yet. And I just joked with him about that. But he's just really amazing. He's from the Bahamas. He's real relaxed. He really knew his stuff, and he still does know his stuff. For anybody in our listeners in Birmingham, you know, you can look him up. You want to find out, email us, and we'll hook you up. But he's a one-on-one type trainer. It just helps you get things in shape. We'll be right back in a moment.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you fell and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that, and it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion. Yeah. You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today, what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar –
that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John and Pat. We were just talking about cholesterol-lowering drugs, a little humor involved in there, but you need to check that segment out. Go to cbnnews.org, or cbn.com, cbn.org, or either one, both of them work.
Yeah.
And go to the news and find out about that particular article. Maybe we'll make it available, too, on the torch for you today to be able to get to it. And and check it out, because if you're taking things that's causing your memory to go, you got to remember this and write it on a napkin or something. So we care. Just what's this napkin? Oh, I know what I need to do now. We don't need to lose muscle mass or our memory.
Not at all.
A brain is a terrible thing to waste.
That's right.
I can't help but think about where we are right now. There was a man being interviewed, and we'll talk more about it probably tomorrow, on Sid Roth's program. And Sid Roth, he says that it's supernatural. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you got to do it better than that.
Say how it says it.
Oh, Pat, come on. It's supernatural. I don't know. I can't do it that well. Pat, come on. Help me out.
I don't know. How does he say it?
He says it's supernatural.
Okay.
No, that it was John McTernan. John McTernan, that's McTernan, and he's the one you may have heard that was able to go back and research how every time American leadership did something to Israel, tried to divide the land or spoke against them, and one of them he talked about was FDR. FDR went to the King of Jordan, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president. He went to the King of Jordan and says, listen, we will provide you military protection if you'll provide us oil. And and they cut a deal right there. That's how that all started, by the way. Now you see all the presidents going and paying homage to the King of Jordan, King Abdul. I didn't know this. I just found this out. And but then, as things began to bubble up a little bit, they were saying, of course, being Islamic, that Israel, this is prior to 1948 with Israel becoming a nation, and they're saying it shall never, Israel shall never become a nation. It should never come together. We should never give them the land to become a nation. And that's what Jordan was saying, and all those, according to what he's saying, John Buchanan. And so FDR writes a letter to the King of Jordan. And you can see this at sidroth.org. You go to VFN Torch. Go to VFN Torch, and it's been made available to you. You get to that at VFNTV.com. He writes a letter to the King of Jordan assuring him that we will never let this happen. The wow. American president said, we will never let this happen.
Oh, wow.
7 days later, we'll never let Israel become a nation. Uh-huh. And this is like 1945, something like that. And 48, of course, is when they did. But 1945. And so 7 days later to the day, FDR dies.
Wow.
And Harry Truman.
Wow. Oh,
wow.
The greatest friend Israel has ever had his presidency in the White House, whose grandmother taught him, or his mother taught him on her knee as a child, that God will bless those who bless Israel. And in that conversation, and mothers out there that you think, you know, training your children up in the way they should go, that they will not remember what you've taught them, hello.
Right.
He was there faced with this reality of, should I or should I not?
Mm-hmm.
And he stood boldly and he signed, Harry Truman signed, the buck stops here, President, signed the letter saying that we support this and they should become a nation.
Wow.
So FDR, who said we will never let this happen, died 7 days later.
Wow.
When he wrote a letter. But he was replaced by God's will.
That's right.
That said, not only will we make it happen, but we'll sign a letter, let the whole world know we're gonna make it happen.
That's right.
I mean, this is amazing. You gotta check this out. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch to see this segment. It'll be made available to you. I believe it's actually, the video is going to be on the VFN Torch there. But the I love Sid Roth. I mean, it just I love his love for God and the Jewish people, and of course he's Jewish, Messianic believer. But then where we are at this one moment in time, we're in this one moment in time right now, where, you know, John talks about, you know, John McTernan talks about what said that when January the 1st rolled around of this year, 2012, he just felt this overwhelming, dull, something's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's just hung with him. And you know, you can feel it in your body.
He's not the only one, right?
Right. You can feel it in your body. And that's kind of like, you can kind of watch my body. I used to always think, what are these people talking about? What are they talking about? That their body goes through intercession and these things are happening. I think it's just the overwhelming knowing of what your spirit knows what's about to happen. And our flesh is so temporal and so weak that it just can't handle you know, this overwhelming reality of what's about to take. I don't know. I just know that I too have been carrying that, and I've been carrying it for quite a while now. And of course, a lot of things that God has shared with me, I was able to share some of them, and we saw them come to pass. But those are just like, the opening acts to what's going to happen. And right now, everybody's leaning forward. And they're thinking as if their vote is what's going to save the world and save America. And, you know, we always do say vote. You know, spend time with God. Check out the person's values. Reconnect with your godly values and vote accordingly. But the something, somebody says, well, I don't want to be gloom and doom. It's like, hey, I just want to let you know. I mean, wouldn't you want to know if you were working in the Twin Towers on 9/11, that would you say, well, I'm just so glad you didn't tell us that planes were going to come into the towers. Thank you for holding back the truth that you knew that was going to take place.
Right.
But the way men are, it's like we don't want to hear it until after it happens so we can accuse you for not telling us.
Of course.
Right. Why didn't you tell us? But the thing is, you got to be either, you know, popular with the man or powerful with God. You got to decide, do you want the power of God in your life or do you want the popularity with men? Are you popular in heaven or popular on earth?
Right.
And And so this overwhelming feeling, I would love to shake it. I can't shake it. I've tried all kinds of things to remove it. And the truth is, the overwhelmingly hard times are coming.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming, and it's not going to be saved by some election. And you can't spend $16 trillion, borrow it from an adversarial nation
mm-hmm.
that has 1.4 billion people in it that have a one-child policy that the land is filled with the blood of Chinese babies.
Mm.
They force abortion, which our president said, our vice president said he thought it was a good idea. And borrow your future from them. You can't sit here and make a pact with radical Islam that it's an anti-Christ mindset. They anti-Jesus.
Right.
And think that, hey, this is all going to work out well. And while at the same time, the church is in rebellion to God. We've accepted so many abnormal things as normal. We're constantly have to look at ourselves like, okay, wait a minute. I know everybody here in Noah's community is doing this.
Right.
The Noah Township, right? That they're all doing this. But I still have to ask myself, what does God say about this?
Right.
And it's really hard. It's hard when everybody, which means, think about it. If everybody, not everybody, but just imagine if the majority of people are doing something that's not right, that means the leaders have made laws to approve it. It means that religious leaders have adopted God's message to fit to what's wrong. It means that they sell things that promote that, like the little idols and stuff that was back in Ephesus. Well, today, all of society is promoting the very thing that we're supposed to demo in our own life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's not easy. It's not easy to walk through a brothel and not look. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy to walk through to going through financial struggles and know that you see all these temptations to be able to acquire wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, hey, that's the wrong way to acquire wealth. The temptations that come there. I mean, you're constantly checking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in that moment in time that we have to be willing to step out from amongst them and be separate. That's what we're called to do. But understand this, it's almost impossible to do if you're going to continue to hang around those who refuse to step out and be separate. You're going to be almost like cancerous to them. Mm-hmm. You're going to be treated like Jeremiah. You know, the first thing he opened and he shared truth amongst the people. And he was sharing truth because he was doing what God told him to do, but he wanted everybody to make it. But their first response to Jeremiah was, lock him up.
Right.
And it started with the leaders of God's people and the population and the people of the community, you know, lock him up. But it was the people of the community that came back and said, wait a minute. Isn't it interesting? Now, the priest didn't come back and say, wait a minute. Because it was the ultimate insult to the church leader, the leadership of God's people at that time, because it meant they were not only wrong, they were really evilly wrong.
Mm.
And so, but the people came back and they said, wait a minute, don't kill them. And they started thinking, well, didn't so-and-so prophesy something in our past? And didn't King so-and-so listen to them? And when they did that, that's exactly what happened. And God, we repented and God kept us.
Right.
And they said, well, also, didn't so-and-so prophesy to King, you know, and didn't he respond, and didn't we make it? Isn't this just like that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't what Jeremiah is saying just like that?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the leadership's like, no, it can't be. And it's like, dude, no, come on. Why not make it? Mm-hmm. Why not be wrong? When you think about Paul and Peter, Paul walked down to Peter, and he said he confronted Peter to his face.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he told him, you're clearly wrong. Because he was trying to play both sides. He was trying to say that there is a different sect of Christian Jews and a different sect of Gentile Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that he would act one way he was with one and he act one way with another, which just created a huge division, I'm sure, in the church. But
right.
Paul just walked up and said, Peter, you are clearly wrong.
Knock it off.
Knock it off. And so it's not evil. It's like it was wrong.
Right.
And so I feel like the overwhelming feeling. So, I, you know, when you read about the prophetic warnings on the VFN torch, and most people, since the culture is kind of bought into this wrong way of being right, that they're not going to be on your boat. They're not going to get on your bandwagon. They're not going to celebrate it. Yeah. But there will be a people that it says, I was wondering what was wrong.
Sure.
There will be a people that says, I see now.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
totally makes sense to me. And it's kind of odd and peculiar to think, well, for so long, this is where we met and we, you know, we talked about God. There was a day we all joined together and worshiped in this place, and we saw God move. And you got to remember that just because God moved once don't mean he'll move again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he was invited during a season of time under a certain leadership doesn't mean the new leadership is going to invite him in the same way.
Right.
It doesn't mean what was started in the spirit in some sawdust barn floor years ago has not now ended up trying to be accomplished in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have some gatherings that talk about, yeah, we born in a sawdust floor. And it's like, maybe we need to go back to the sawdust floor.
Right.
And it was that crying out to God that birthed a gathering of people that's brought health for over a period of time. But all of a sudden, at some point, you know, whether it is an Absalom coming in or a situation happening, but just takes the reins and turns it a different direction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right. And just because it was right doesn't mean it is right. And the way you find it, there's a litmus test for knowing whether God's pleased with it or not. Is he there? Is he there? Is God there? Do you sense his presence? Like we were talking about yesterday in Rethinking the Church, you know, George Barna stated in his book, Revolution, Are You Worn Out in Church? He says statistically the 75% of regular church attenders, at least attend church, a gathering twice a month, every 2 weeks, they say that they've worshiped God and they believe the worship is about them, and the majority of them never even have sensed God's presence in an entire year. And it's like, at some point, you know, at some point in a relationship, you're going to want to know they're there.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking to the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, a relationship has some sort of, a genuine relationship has some sort of connection, some sort of, you know, I'm aware that you're here and you're aware that I'm here. And so we find out that the traditions of men makes God's word of non-effect. And the overwhelming, I don't know, we're seeing it happen already. We're seeing these things happen. Mm-hmm. And you can go to the VFN Torch and check out the update on the storm. It's actually the menu button at the top too. I think you'll be able to get right directly to it as well, of John Paul Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But just to know this, that just like he describes it, how John McTernan describes it, that that's exactly how many of us are feeling. That this looming about to happen. Now realize God will protect his people. I mean, Psalms 91 is going to be kicked in. He that abides under the shadow, right, of the Almighty. So abiding, we talk about abiding, we're saying, listen, I have a storm shelter for you. And you can find it at iabide.org, a storm shelter. Why? Because he who abides with the Lord, and it goes on to list all these protections, how you're protected. Abiding is not somebody that's saved. Abiding is somebody who abides. And if you're not abiding with God, if you're not spending time with God, hiding his word in your heart, building a relationship with him and getting to know him and hiding his word in your heart to the point that you don't want to sin against him and obeying what he leads you to do or tells you to do, I mean, it's not abiding. So find out how to do that at iabide.org. It's a storm shelter. It's a storm shelter. There's a storm on the horizon. And if you can try to build you something out of bricks, you can try to build you something out of gold. You can try to build you something out of your thoughts, your ideas, and your schemes. But I got a storm shelter for you. It's abiding with God. He that abides under the shadow of the Almighty will be protected.
That's
Find
right.
out more about it at iabide.org. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter now. It's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email. An update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It will come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast. The podcast for VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. John.
Yes.
Talk to us, man. What's happening in the big city?
Well, speaking about the big city, I was in the big city over the weekend. I was went through Chinatown and headed on over to the South Street Seaport. That's near the financial district.
Did you see anybody trying to sell something in Chinatown?
Say that again.
Did you see anybody trying to sell something in Chinatown?
They're always selling something in Chinatown. Anything you want. So yeah, you got to be careful going through Chinatown. Now you kind of just want to blow through there, not stop too long, because never know what you know.
People rent a piece of the wall to stand in front of it to sell, don't they?
Oh yeah, you know those shops. People think that they just had these little old shops down there. It looks so rugged. The rent on one of those walls, the side walls, it's a store. You walk in this little storefront store, and it has three sides. You have the right side, the left side, and the back wall. Just one side of that wall rents for $8,000 a month, depending on the location. Wow. That's how many people come down into Chinatown. It's tourists and all types of folks.
How many people walk down that street a week, you think?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Probably millions, huh? Hundreds of thousands a week.
Yeah, I would imagine. And then from all different places. I mean, not only New Yorkers, but you got people coming from all over the world. All over the world, they're coming down there to shop and buy, and right in that area, you have Little Italy on one side, and then you have Chinatown on the other side. So,
yeah, I remember Little Italy. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you remember?
I didn't know if I was going to be seated or buried when I went. So you want a seat? You want a table? We got this for you. I'm like, oh my goodness, John. No, remember the guy who came over? And Dave's like, what are you doing? Remember the guy that was there? And you're taking this picture.
Which guy?
We'll just, yeah.
All right, we'll leave him alone. But yeah. I do remember Wuhan. I took him, Pat, to a Chinese restaurant.
My goodness.
Because you know he loves Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
And we're in Chinatown.
I found real Chinese food, and it was under Manhattan.
Yeah, it was underground. It's an underground restaurant in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we passed all the other restaurants that had, like, ducks hanging in their windows and all kinds of stuff hanging in their windows. We went to the underground China restaurant. Well, anyway, I was in New York.
Wuhop? Was it Wuhop?
Wuhop or Wuhot?
Wuha. It was good.
It was very good. Yeah. It was very good.
Remember the police officer was there, your typical, what you would perceive as an NYPD, and we like the police. And he's sitting there, he's got a whole spread, man. He's probably been eating there his entire career. Remember that, reading the paper and stuff? So I didn't even look at the menu. I said, what should I eat? And he gave us the selection. You know, this is best.
Serious as day. I mean, he didn't break a smile or nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was I was so good. So good that I would even go just to eat there. That's how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he ate it all.
There next time.
hint.
I cannot have any sugar in it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, you better start, you know, you got to gear up when you come up here. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Was down by the South Street Seaport, down by the Financial District. And
Which is where the Twin Towers was at.
Say that again?
Where Twin Towers was at.
Exactly. In fact, after I left the South Street Seaport, which, by the way, was the original seaport, where they were just shipping and doing stuff. It's pretty cool. It's right there on the East River, and you overlook. Actually, it's right next to Brooklyn. But
right next to Brooklyn?
Well, the Brooklyn Bridge.
Okay, yeah.
Brooklyn. It's right next to the Brooklyn Bridge.
Okay, you know, I thought something had an earthquake or something. The rock just slid over to Brooklyn. Okay.
That was a journey. We decided to check out the Brooklyn Bridge, and oh, my goodness. You know, note to self, when you're walking with a two-year-old child, make sure to bring a
You took Maya on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. She's Daddy, carry me.
Oh, no.
Carry me.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Like, Maya, you're not. I told her, says, Maya, you're heavy. She says, Daddy, I'm not heavy. Oh, yes, you are. But we ended leaving down by the Freedom Tower. Wanted to see how much it was going to be completed. And when I was down there, it was just, remember that church that said there were some things that were happening, some going on, was right in front of...
Yes, with a tree in front of and all that, yeah.
Absolutely. I took some pictures of there for you, just kind of connect some things.
Oh, yeah.
But it's almost done.
Oh, my goodness.
It's almost... Freedom Tower is almost done.
And Freedom Tower is what they built in place of the Twin Towers that was there.
That's right. They have the new monument that's down there. So if you get a chance, you're in New York City, you really want to go down to the memorial monument that they have. Just to see, but it is huge. It is huge.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.